ವ್ಯಾಸ ಶಂಕರ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಕೇಶವಂ ಬಾದರಾಯಣಂ ಸೂತ್ರ ಭಾಷ ಕೃತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತಃ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾವವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವತೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ ತತ್ಸತ್. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. So we see Tattva Bodha in this class also. So far we have seen the six different Shad Sampat, Vairagyam and Mukshuttam. They form the key aspects. We have seen that. We have seen what are the Pancha Indriyas, Karma Indriyas, Jnana Indriyas, who are the deities associated with those Indriyas, what are their functions. We have seen that. In the last 2-3 classes we have also seen the Avastha also. We have seen the three, Avastha Traya we have seen, where we have seen the dream state, waking state and deep sleep state, and what happens to the person. And we have seen that in detail. Great. Now today we are going to see the Pancha Kosha Viveka, Pancha Koshaha, or the five sheets, which is called. The way it is called Koshaha, because it is actually a cover, a sheet. Like if you look at, you know, the skin, the body, right? It is actually covered, right? It's covered. So this covering which is there and which you can only see at the top, we are not able to see what is inside. Likewise, this Atman or this consciousness which is there, it is hidden somewhere deep inside. And often it is mistaken for all these outside parts. So primarily the Koshaha is actually a dosha. A dosha means a superimposition of the person who thinks Atma is this, and it is mainly due to the person not understanding the vision of what is consciousness and what is this Panchakoshaha. Right. So this verse which you look at, we will start to look at each of them individually. Panchakoshaha ke means what is Panchakoshaha is a question asked. He says here Annamayaha, first one. Annamayaha means that which is made of food. Then Pranamayaha, the prana which you take, you know, this is called Pranamayaha. Then Manomayaha, which is a little bit more deeper inside the mind. Then Vijnanamayaha. Then Anandam, Anandamaya Kosha. So this is the five level of the Panchakoshaha. They are the five sheets. So the outside layer which you see here, this is the Annamaya Kosha. Everything is made of food. If you go one level down, deeper inside, then the prana which is there circulating, that is what is making the food digest. So inhaling, exhaling, the five pranas, you know, pranayaswaha, vyanayaswaha, you know, udhanayaswaha, all the five things. Prana, apana, vyana, udhana, samana, five, correct? So the five things are there which form the body, which runs the body pretty much. If one of them doesn't work also, it's a problem. Just imagine, for example, like, you know, you're not able to breathe. you have breathing problem, immediately all sorts of function problem starts. Likewise, you cannot, you can breathe in, you can't breathe out, all sorts of problem. See, if you don't have enough lung, you know, air in lungs, you've got asthma, all the problems are there, right? You cannot, so everything has to be working properly. So the pranamaya also is very important. Then the manaha means the manomaya means the mind, which is there, which is made of the four parts. That which is controlling all these things, right, is very important also. So we will look at each of them one by one and see what it is says here. Okay. And the Vijnanamayam here it says is intellect or the buddhi, the sharp, you know, the viveka, the intellect. Vijnanam is called the intellect. Okay. And Anandamayam is happiness. So there's innermost happiness which is there, called happiness. So you just feel I'm happy. And every level is a quotient because this Annamayam also is the way we say, because we commit a mistake by looking at the body. When we look at the body, it says, I am this, right? But in reality, you are not that. The moment you are able to objectify anything and say, if you know the subject, correct? If you know who you are, then that is not the one which is the ultimate thing. What Vedanta says, that which is unknown, that which cannot be defined, that which cannot be attributed, that which cannot be quantified, anirvachaniya, vikalpam, that is called the consciousness. The body is known to everybody. We all are different. The body has got color. It's got dark color, complexion, red color, you know, we've got, and it has got its own shades also, of you know. So they are all known to us. So what it says here is that the people always mistake the body as the Annamaya, right, as the first sheep. And Annamaya means, actually it means food. That which is made up of food is called Annamaya. Our whole body is only nothing but food only. If you don't have food, if you don't eat food in the body, you can imagine what will happen to the body. The body will become like this. There will be nothing there. You can become anorexic. Nowadays people are like, if you look at the new models which are there, there's a new trend called anorexic. They want to be, there was a time when people are very plump and fat. They don't like be like that. Now they want to be dieting. So they are anorexic people. So they like, they are very strict. All bones jutting down, all collar bones coming down. Very, very dangerous to look at. Greasiness is not there. Correct. And Annamayam also means, it is actually like a maya, which is like, you know, the transformation or cover, which is, and Annamaya has got different connotations. See, we can say Annamayam, Annamaya Yajna also we say. When a person donates food, we call it as a Yajna. Food is the only one this can be distributed, and the person will say, it's enough. You can offer him anything else you want. You can offer him the wealth, you can offer him utensils, you can offer him money, car, bangla, you can offer him all sorts of functions. He will never say no. He can never say that it's enough for me. Because he can always be happy, more things. We discussed before the class also that how much is enough is a person's, you know, view. Whereas with the food, even if you've got 20 different dishes in a day, if you're served, you can, the moment you look at the dish, you'll see, oh my God, how am I going to eat all this food? So what you do, you take small samples, little, right? So that you are able to taste everything. See, you want to taste everything because you don't know which one will be tasty. So if a person is a good host, you know, they have cooked, you know, continental, Chinese, Italian, you know, Mughlai, everything, whatever dishes you feel like, they all have got. But then you cannot go to every place and eat because you only can eat this much only. So that is why the Annamayam Yajna is a Vedic ritual where the food distribution is abundant. The person, we never say that, no, okay, we'll only cook 450 people only. We never, oh, we, what if 50, say, 100 people come? No, sorry, we can't, we don't have food. So we always make sure that we cook more. And even if it is leftover also, it can be given by somebody. But we never cook anything less. You go to somebody's house, I see somebody's house. You go to their house, they will eat in a small bowl like this. The moment you look at that food also, my God, I'm hungry. Because they also eat like this. They'll have one katori of rice, half chapati will have, some salad they will have, and you'll see the way they eat. And you are coming from a well-to-do, you know, mella sappal sambar, saptal. We have three courses, like, you know, kalambu sadam, rasam sadam, mor sadam, and even before that also something you have, curry, two different, nicely, you know, nai yalam put this happened. You go to their house and you see this bowl, kinnam kinnama aurum, ulla malla malla. The moment you look at them, you fear your hunger is finished. I have seen it practically, you know, when I go to somebody's house, I've seen them how they eat. They will take only a little bit, you know, one small current, even the spoon also, you can measure them. I'm not criticizing, you know, like some people have got their the way. Some communities they have, you know, they'll bring only a small current. It will be like a big, if you look at the ladle, it will be like a big one. But inside it can hold only a little bit only, one spoon only it can hold. It will hold like this, but it will only have three, moon vantakana, moon beans. So here it says here, Annamayat, Annamaya Yajnaha means that which is available in abundance. Like that we should, you should donate in, like, you know, you should kanjapanna kuda. You must not be a person who's actually be, you know, cutting short in that. If, because you should provide annam in abundance quantity. So after having seen that, now we go into what is Annamaya Koshaha. Okay, Annamaya Koshaha. Annamaya Ka is the question. So what is Annamaya Ha is the next question. Anna Rasan Eva. Anna Rasan Eva. Bhutva. Bhutva Narasan Eva. Have you got a text in front of you? You got text, right? So Anna Rasan Eva means Annam and Rasan. Rasanam means the saram of the Anna. So when you eat the food, right, you know that all the food, if you eat rice, the entire rice doesn't go into the body and then it's digested. Only the essence of the food is digested. The rest of them actually is thrown out of the body by natural physiological functions. That is why we say that the food which we eat, the Bhagavad Gita we saw, that the food is broken up into components by the body. The subtlest part of the body, of the food which is there, it goes into the subtlest part, the brain, the mind, for feeding. If the food itself is all tamasic food, entire tamasic food, there's no sattva there at all. Naturally, it will become mandabuddhi. Mandabadi Murkadipati, Maharaj. You know that story, right? The Mandabuddhi Murkadipati Maharaj. This king. He's a king, right? So he had a minister also who was like him only. So the minister saw a small fly on the king's face. And he couldn't tolerate, you know, the king being disturbed. So he was fighting, he was actually chasing with a sword. And this fly was actually sitting on the nose of this king. He thought that, like, he could just do that. And he actually chopped off, you know, the king's head. Because both of the people are ignorant people. Both the Murkadhipati means the buddhi is not there. Intellect is not there. That how can you catch a fly? You can never catch a fly also. So Manda Buddhi means that that whatever food you eat, it will make you very tamasic. If you eat all this, you know, there's nothing against non-vegetarians. Okay, I'm not criticizing non-vegetarians. But generally, those food which has got, they have this tamasic qualities. And it will not make you sattvic. It will always leave you very dull. So anna rasa naiva means that which is the essence of the food alone. Bhutva annarasa neva. Okay. Bhutva means having come or having come into existence. So now he is talking about how the food is coming into existence. So we see there's a food there, right? But how does the food come into the first place? And how does the food again go back? It's been discussed. Okay. Vriddhim. Vriddhi means grow. So what happens when you eat the food? You grow, right? You don't actually become as it is, right? When you eat the food, you grow. Then annarupa prapyam. Right? So vrittim prapyaha means you actually attain growth. Vrittim prapyaha. You attain growth. Then annarupa prithivyam. So the break the words into first word is called annarasan eva. Annarasanam eva. Annam has got this essence eva. Okay, only the essence of the food goes. Bhutva rasan eva, having come into existence from the food. Vriddhi. So once the essence is there, the person grows. Vriddhim prapyaha annarupa prithivyam. Okay. So it goes back to the earth. Yad viliyate. So what do you do? First of all, the food comes. Okay. I'll tell you how the food comes also. I think Natarajan, I told you before in some samskara class, I told you. The food, first of all, comes. You get the food. You eat the food. The food actually gets digested. The essence, the rasanam, you know, the rasa, gets converted into energy. And energy actually makes you grow. Correct? Vriddhim prapyaha. Vriddhi means you grow. Then after growing, what do? Again, the same thing. After growing, you become from, you know, a small child to maybe 85-year-old woman or boy or old man or old woman. Finally, this body also goes back to the same earth where it came from. Correct? Because the food is made of the body. The body is made of the food. And then it grows. And then after certain maturity, it again goes back to the same earth from where it came from. So the food has come from the earth, you consume the food, you grow, you wither away, and then finally your body also, same annamaya kosha, annamaya, goes back to the same earth where it came from. So tad viliyate means it actually resolves. Viliyate means resolves. Tad annamayaha means that is called annamayaha. Stula shariram. So stula sharira means this is called gross body. The gross body which you see outside, which we are very, very proud of. I'm beautiful, I'm colorful, I'm young, I got white skin, I got this kind. Ultimately, all it doesn't really matter to anybody. All of them have got only one destination. One source, one process to grow, and one ultimate destination to grow. It doesn't really matter. In the meanwhile, people have all these ideas. Imagination about, like, you know, he's tall, I'm short, he's dark, he's poor, he's got like a black color, I'm white color. All these things come, where Bheda comes. Right? This is all because of what? Again, about, you know, where is this coming from? Right? So annarasam eva bhutva, having come from food. Vriddhim prapyaha means it grows. After growing, viliyate prithivyam. So it dissolves back into the prithvi, which is earth. Tad annamayaha kosha stula sharidam. So basically this is called a stula sharidam. And the koshaha means it is a doshaha, it is actually a covering or a sheath or ignorance which is there of this body. You think this body is permanent. This body is going to be like this forever. Some people go to all this beauty parlor, you know, all this, you know, Botox. Sorry, it's called Botox, right? Botox. Called Botox, I think, yeah. And they go to all these things, dying, you know, lots of things they do. Just to remain that Indendra Markandeyan look. You know Markandeyan, right? Indendra Markandeyan. Markandeya was a Chiranjeevi, he is always a young person. So sometimes we say that if you are dyeing your hair or if you are, you know, always making sure that you have got you've got a Vinaka smile, you know, teeth, everything perfect, you are chick tip top, hair combed, everything nicely, you are called Indendra Markandeya. Means you are always worried about the external appearance. How I should look like? What will people think if I dress like this? What will people think if I grow white hair? If I don't have hair, what will you think about it? Right? So this is the view of the Annamaya Koshaha. Koshaha means this is the covering which I got, or the ignorance which I got, mainly due to our ignorance about this, right? In the samskara class, see, basically this, in the Mundaka Upanishad, the jiva actually gets transferred. The jiva is actually individual, okay? The physical body. The jiva, as I told you, is the complete individual, which has got all the three states. It is a complete individual who thinks, I am the person, I am the body, mind, sense complex, correct? And we do this, the jiva should have existed in the previous life, because naturally, you know, when a jiva has come into existence, he would have had some sort of connection in the past. There would have been some rebirth, that's why he has come. He cannot just come out of something else. See, we all have come out of something of some earth. I do not know what it is. Maybe he would have come from another, small jiva, less intelligent jiva, or be more intelligent, we don't know. But something is there, and we have come into some form. Now, after death of this, yes? You can unmute your phone, I can't hear you. Unmute it. Unmute your video. Yeah.
No, you're saying that we are coming from the smaller beings to the human body, okay? And then the human body, after reaching the human body, do we keep being born as human body only?
No, there's no guarantee.
But then we have papam and punyam, but the smaller beings don't have papam and punyam.
Correct. The smaller beings, because the animals don't have papam and punyam. Maybe you would have come from animal also. Maybe you would have come from, after many janmas of taking birth, we were transmigrated from many births. And some of this, would have come and would have taken human birth. And this human birth could continue for some time. And we don't know. This janma may be the last, or maybe another janma will be there. If you do any good karma in this janma, good karmas, naturally you will be born as a better person. If you are, human being doesn't mean that you are just a physical body. Okay? A human being doesn't mean that you can be a human being also in a rakshasa family also. Even rakshasa also called as human being also. But what will happen? He will be in a dharmic way. He will actually keep doing adharma, 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 because he was
encouraged to do adharma by birth.
Who?
By birth. When you are born in that sorupam.
Yeah, naturally. See, if you have got in the right family, in a good family, naturally you will be inclined. You'll be inclined to good things. But if you are born in a family, naturally you'll be doing those. In a rubber family. You will be doing only that only, and you will go further down and down. Right? So, that is why what we should do is, when we are given opportunity in this life, We must do good things, good karma, so that if at all we have a next janma, we are better placed to be, you know, in a better family where we continue the good karma and eventually study and eventually work. Otherwise, we could be born in another family which has got no connection at all, no religious background, no study shastra, no background at all. Nothing will be there. You'll be just like any other vegetation, like, you know, you, even animal also eats. Animal also takes birth. Animal gives birth to a child. An animal raises, you know, its children. It also feeds its children. Then, you know, it also dies. What difference is between an animal and us? If you are going to be like any other person, there's no difference, correct?
Yeah, Shankar is back. Yeah. Unmute, Shankar, unmute.
That question, Revati, will answer you in a separate discussion, because I know this is actually, you know, a lot of, you know, karma and other things are there. You need to understand what is karma, what is the prarabdha karma. Then only you need to understand the concept of it. Okay. But in general, what we are trying to do is that we should see this manida janmam is very, very rare. That is what Shastram says. If you are given a human body, it means you have done a lot of punyam. Somewhere you have done a lot of punyam. And thereby you have been given a human birth. And if you waste away this birth by not doing anything, like I told you yesterday, there are three runams you have to do. You have to expend three runams. Because you have been given birth by a father and mother. So naturally you have to repay them in some way or the other. You don't do anything at all. You don't worship your father, you don't worship your dad, you just keep them away, put them in a nursing home, let them, you know, languish in some place there, and you enjoy in a big bungalow there. You enjoy in a masjid, go everywhere, whatever you want, you can do, you can go to Europe, trip, everything, go there. That is not called runam. Then you don't do devarunam also, you don't do any puja in the morning. You get up in the morning, brush your teeth, have coffee, go to breakfast, work, all these things are there. This is called devarunam, because these people who give you the reins, the sun, the wind, the air you breathe, the food you eat from the ground, the rain they give you, the sun, they are all giving you just like that. They are not asking you, okay, you have to do this for me. Right? But you take everything from them. Right? You enjoy everything. But where is the gratitude for you? You don't have a gratitude. Right? So these are all papa karma. The papa karma which you do is unknowingly you do without knowing, because you are ignorant about it. Then you have the rishi runa. Like the people who gave you the Vedas, people who gave you the, you're not even giving them anything back. So these three things a person should do in a human life, should do. If a person doesn't do any of them, or even if it doesn't do one of them also, they'll again have the same issue. So that is what I always keep telling, that if you have come to this class somewhere or the other, there's some punyam you have done in the past, I have done some punyam in the past. Thereby you come accidentally or, you know, knowingly you come. Correct. So one has to continue doing this. Thereby you will be able to continue in a better life next time. So you see, you may not be able to continue studies this janma also, possible. Next janma, you will be able to take birth. You will be better placed than anybody else. You will be born in a family which will be Vedanti family, who will be studying Vedanta all the time. And you will be continuing from where you left off. Doesn't mean you start from zero again. You already come from some place, you continued from where you are. You don't know about it. If you have come to this class, you have done this, means there is some connection from the past which has prompted you to do this. How many people are like this? There are millions of people, billions of people are there out there. Who don't study Vedanta? Why only some people should study? In our own class, you can imagine. We've got 50 people in our student class. How many people come to this class? Tell me. They have been with you for 2.5-3 years now. 2.5 years now. 3-4 people have come. 4 people have come. What about the rest 46 people? They are not there because their karma is not there yet for them. It has not come to them yet. So it is a very clear fact that when you come to any of these satsangs or anything group like this, there is some punyam karma which you have done, thereby you have been given opportunity to study. So one should make full use of it. So this topic came out because the jiva and the previous existence, what I am talking about, there's definitely an existence. Yes.
See, when we say Narajanmam is Kurlavam, what we mean is there are lakhs and lakhs of species, out of which we are only one species. So it is rare. Okay. Having said this, when we say there is no papam punyam for animals, we don't know. Actually, as of today, the whatever little knowledge I have, I don't know whether they have papam or punyam or they don't have papam punyam. They may have their own order. That is the last class which Shankar said. They may be having their own orderly behavior, which we are not aware of. Okay. That doesn't mean they don't have papam or punyam. So they may be having a set of principles which they may have to follow. And if they don't follow, that papam and punyam will accrue to them. And based on that, we'll be graduating to this. That's what
he said. Octopus has got its own dharma.
Everyone will have its own dharma. Like Yana is not supposed to kill and eat. It is supposed to eat vegetarian food. Okay. Suppose one Yana goes rogue and kills and eats. That means what? It has done against its dharma. Same way, a lion killing when it is not hungry. Again, maybe it is against its dharma. So there may be plenty of... Okay, there will be gradations again in those things. And based on our karmas, we come to this particular place we have come as of today. Okay. Having said this, there are n number of people born into a Vaidya or a Brahmin family. Still, they go and eat non-veg, take booze and everything. Okay. So they are deteriorating in their lifestyle. So they will again pay for whatever they are doing. And there will be n number of people who have been born. Like there are one of Shankar's guru, he said he's a foreigner. Okay. Their whole culture was non-veg. Whereas his guru must have left all those things and learned where Gita and is teaching Shankar. Okay. That means birth, wherever you are, it all depends on your acts. You could have been born in a very bad family. But you can be, based on your act, you are growing up. The same way you would have been taken birth because of your past dharma in a good family, but because of your current dharma, you are going to face music later on.
See, the theory about the karma, that's why karma is actually a very important thing, because everything has got a karma. But only the human being has got this viveka to understand what is karma, vikarma, and very clear, okay? And so one has to know that what is should not be done. Whereas the animal doesn't have this viveka. It only has got instinct. If you go in front of a lion and tell him, like, you know, look, lion, I'm actually a Vedanti. You should not kill me. He will pounce on you and kill you because his dharma is totally clear. You cannot tell, please don't eat me. Because that's the way you have to be practical. Whereas the lion doesn't have intelligence. You have the intelligence to run away, right? You know. Why you have been given intelligence? Why the lion has not been given intelligence? Why the elephant has not been given intelligence? Because they are in the jati, in the order. So everybody has got a gradation. Even the human being also, there are different gradations. Somebody is very high up there. So you got a sannyasi who is high up there. Then you got other people who are down, you got there. Then somebody who is also a spiritual person or a person just only nothing there. So they're all, you'll be born a human person. But it doesn't mean that you are a human person, means you are just a human body, that's it. A human body has got nothing to do with that. You can be a human body just like that, like an animal also has got even a body. It has got all the things, right? Tell me what difference does we and them don't have. We also breathe, they also breathe. They also eat, we also eat. They also procreate, we also procreate. They also excrete, we also excrete, right? We also, they know how to protect children, they also know this. What is the difference thing with the viveka? The only difference. If you don't have the intelligence, then if you don't use intelligence to know what it is, then what is the difference between you and animal? There's no difference. You can be born as an animal or a human being, doesn't really matter to anybody. For Vedanta person, it is saying, okay, look, you are human, you are individual, jiva. With all the things which are there, body makes sense complex. The person has to rise above this. That is why the viveka has been given to you. So this question about came because the jiva which has come from the previous thing, right? It actually goes back to the same element. Why we consign to the fire? Because the body which is there, it is coming from the earth, and it has to return back in the same content, same manner, back to the earth. That's why the human, the Hindus, they have a, you know, a culture of burning the bodies and offering to the fire as an oblation. Oblation means you thank the Lord, thank the Prithvi, you know, the Bhumata, for giving you the food. Thereby you grew out of the food. Annarasena. So you had the annam, you extracted the essence out of this, you grew. Vartate, right? Vruddhim. Vruddhim praptyaha. Right? So the Vruddhim praptyaha. Then after that, what did you do? Then you go back to Viliyate Prithivya, which is what I said, your body is sent back to the fire. So you see the reason why, if you don't know the reason behind why you are cremating the body, you would know by Tattva Bodha that the food which you are eating, you know, the body which you think is so precious, is actually nothing but coming from the same dharti only, the same, you know, earth, correct? And you are giving back to the same person. So what happens actually? So once the person, you know, is cremated, when the person dies, if he's a good person, you know, I'm saying he's a good person who has lived a dharmic life, who has got his life clear, goals, everything clear. This person actually goes into the Pitraloka. Pitraloka is where the person temporarily goes to a place. That's why we offer the pindam and everything. See, when the person dies, this is nothing to do with Tattva Bodha, but I'm giving you a view because you should know what happens to the body and all these kind of things. When the person dies, then the body gets cremated. But the sukshma shariram or the vasanas which are there, they travel. They actually are looking, clamoring. And when it leaves, you can see the body being cremated and it wants to come back. It cannot come back. And thereby, once the body is cremated, it sort of understands that you know, like, I cannot come back to this body anymore. I have to find another place to go. So there's 13 days which are there, which are given. Every day the pindam is given, right? Every day the pindam is given. One by one the pindam is given. So it starts to develop. So it has to go to Pitraloka. How will it go? It can't go fly, right? So imagine like this, that, you know, it has to have a physical body, a physical form. Somewhere it has to travel. So the pindam which you offer, the water which you offer, annam. Pindam is what? The ball of, you know, rice with ill and everything you offer, right? And then you offer to the crow, you keep it there. Every day you have five, you know, depending on. And then you wait for the crow to come. The crow is not easy, Pitra. You are waiting for that person to come and have it. So that when the crow in the form is your Pitraloka, is your father or who was there. You want him to eat first, then only you want to eat. If the crow doesn't eat, means there's some papa which is there, we always feel, right? So this person, through the pinda, eating pinda, he develops, you know, first, you know, the legs, the body, the arm, you know, one by one it develops. Then finally the mind it develops. After the 13th day, when the game is done, then that's the time it departs from here to the Pitraloka. In the Pitraloka, it resides for some time, depending upon whatever punya karma it has done. And after that, it can be there for some time, depending upon the karma which is coming from the past, samchita karma. Now next set of karma is going to come because we don't know what is going to be there, right? So another set of karmas will come, good and bad will come. That will decide where it is going to take birth. So this 13 days, it has already taken time to decide where it has to go. So the karmas are decided, okay, now you have to take birth in this person's house. So it comes in the form of a small shishu. But before that, this Pitraloka, Pitra becomes a parjanya, clouds. It actually becomes in a cloud form. This is what Veda says. Take it as a story. How does it become a cloud? Don't ask me this question. It says that the Pitraloka which is there, it becomes like in a cloud form. So parjana, yaf parjanyas ayatanam veda ayatanavan bhavati apo vai vayu ayatanam ayatanavan bhavati. Mantra Purushama says, so parjana means cloud. So it actually becomes a cloud form. And from the clouds, it again, the rain comes. When the rain comes, what happens? You get vegetation, fresh crops. The fresh crops which are there, they are eaten by the next generation, because the person who is the next would be your father and mother would be eating the food. This person doesn't know, okay? But he comes in the form of a rain. If there's no rain, supposing, you know, if you do all the tapas, see, in some countries there's no rain at all, right? No rain at all, drought. Because there is maybe there's the climate is like this, or there's a possibility that nothing good is being done there. Generally in India, you see rains come. Always rains. It's a punya bhumi, because whatever people do, bad karma, good karma, there are always good karmas than bad karmas. So we always get rains, we never have a problem. We have got enough food for us to eat, we are okay. So these clouds which come, they fall on the ground, and then the ground and the vegetation comes. The father, you know, the next generation person, he eats the food, he becomes Anna again. Because what happens when the rains come, Anna again starts producing. You get wheat and paddy and everything else comes, right? So you consume the food. Again, what happens? Vridhim prapya, you grow again. Now, the lady of the house also has got the same issue. He also consumes. She doesn't know, you know, what it is. Then through the consummation of the, you know, the child is born. Then the child also is actually what? Inside the womb of the mother. The only source of the existence of the Shishu is only the food that the mother eats. Everything is given electronically like a pipe. It goes straight into the pipe, it grows inside. Correct. It comes out, again it eats its food, grows. Vridhim prapya. So you can see the cycle. The whole of the creation, the whole of the cycle of, you know, birth and death is all connected. Like there is no, you cannot say that where it ends and where it starts. That's why we always say anadi, because we are never born, we are never dead. See, the body is born and dead. But we as a consciousness, as understanding that, like in this Shuddha Chaitanya, is never dead. For the body, yes, there is death and birth and everything else. So that's what it says here. Annarasa neva bhutva. Bhutva means having come into existence from the anna. Rasanaha means through the essence of the food. Vridhim praptyaha. It actually grows. Then viliyate. After growing, it again goes back to the same earth form. Like after cremation, it goes same form. This is called a sula sharira. So the gross body which you see is the same thing. But when you eat the food, right? Supposing if you are seeing the food outside, you will say it is katrekai, it is it has got, you know, high calorie diet, high calories are there. When I eat patta, you will see, no, it's very high calorie, I can't eat it. Right? But when you eat the food inside, then what is happens? You don't say that, like, you know, calories. I am fat, I am tall. I becomes all those things. Right? Outside, when it becomes, you think about all these things. Veda, everything comes. When it goes into the body, then this, you never say that, no, I am this name. Like, you don't say this because you become one with that. It becomes part of the food. Then you what? Superimpose the qualities of that as you. Likewise, whatever you see outside, you think that this is what you are. And then you superimpose everything upon outside and inside. You see the difference how this is called Annamaya Kosha, because the Annamaya means all those things, anything which is eatable, anything. It can be anything, you know. And one fundamental thing also to remember is that all the vegetation is only vegetarian. whatever you eat, a person who's a non-Brahmin eat chicken and, you know, vegetarian, and, you know, meat and, you know, pork, everything. But even the pig also first has to eat vegetable food only. It has to eat only from the ground. It cannot kill another animal and say, for example, like, you know, okay, let me eat the other animal and I'll become a, because it is vegetarian by nature. You look at a lion. A lion will kill a giraffe. For the lion, the food is giraffe. For the giraffe, the food is the leaves. So which is the source of, so what is the lion eating ultimately? The lion is eating a modified form of the giraffe, of the grass, through the giraffe, right? That's how it is. Anything, you look at any animal, you look at a chicken also, first of all, it eats from the ground only. It only pecks from the ground. Then the chicken is heated. So fundamental thing. So what it tells you with the vision is, if you have an idea about where this is all coming from, then you would not have this difference between, like, you know, he's like this, that is like this. You have a samatva buddhi in everything. You see animals, you see the insects, you see yourself, you see non-Brahmins, you see that, this, everybody as coming from only one source, annamaya. All of this is only food only, nothing else. Right? The body has got a weight. See, the thing is, you, when you eat, you know, cholesterol heavy food, you will say that, no, the body has got a physical weight. Now you say, I am 75 kilos weight now, or I am 65 kilos, because, you know, I think I've eaten a lot of, you know, chocolates and butter and ghee and everything else. So I put on weight. Outside, when it was there, you're not seeing it. Now, once you eat the food, then that food becomes your part of the food now. Now you say, I am tall, I am short, I am fat like this, I'm thin like this, all those things come. So this is called the superimposition, and we need to correct it, our vision. Okay. Is it clear, this one? See, small correction, small understanding makes a big difference in the way we look at food. Food is a very small topic. But the whole of Bhrigavalli, it's only about food only. It says, annat bhutani jayante, means all those things which are coming from the food only. Yena jatani jivanti. So after coming from the food, it again goes back in the same food only. Yat prayancha vishamtiti tat vijnaya, means now I realize, vijnaya means tat vijnaya, that knowledge I know now. That whatever has come from the food is eaten by me, it again goes back to the same food form. Bhrigavalli says this. Tattva Bodha says same thing here. So when you read other text, you will know why there's no, what you call, contradiction between the two of them. The clarity will enhance. So next one will be the Pranamaya Koshaha. So Annamaya Koshaha, we are fairly clear what is Annamaya. Okay. So when you eat food next time, make sure that you don't waste any food, because in the Bhrigavalli says, Annam na nindyat, Annam na nindyat, tat vradam, you take a vow. Vradam means tat vradam means you take a vow. Apova annam. So Annam na nindyat means ninda. You should never do ninda for the food. We take lots of food, then we throw in the bin. Okay, we don't like. So we should never do ninda for the food, because we as individual, we don't even the capacity to grow a single grain of rice. If you go and say, tomorrow I'm going to, you know, plant rice, just plant it tomorrow. Just go tomorrow and say, I've got this brother, I've taken a vow. Tomorrow I'm going to plant, you know, a paddy field. You go and plant it, you think you can do it, you cannot do it. You need so many people to support you. You need to first buy a seed, first of all. The farmer has to first be available to give you a seed. Then you buy a seed. Then you have to buy fertilizer for that. Someone has to give you fertilizer. Then you plant, you have to have a ground to fertilize. Someone has to give you land to fertilize. Then you need sun. Right? Surya Bhagavan. You need rain, Varuna Bhagavan. how helpless you are when you're depending on so many people to grow one grain of rice. And yet, what do? We go to somebody's house, we eat food. Yes.
Even after all this, if we don't have grace, the paddy field will not be there at all.
Even after all this thing, you know, there'll be a flood.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Natural.
So a flood can come, or the crop can be eaten away by the insects, and you don't have a good paddy, this thing, harvest.
Correct. So you can imagine, like, so many obstacles are there, like, you know. And so the beauty of that, you know, is to come to the gratitude. The attitude is very important. Like, no, like, I do not own anything. I do not create anything in this. Yet, you know, everything is God's grace. Everything is Ishwara's grace. Everything is operating on its own, you know, law and order. I do not create anything. I don't know anything. But yet, what do we say? Oh, that land belongs to me. That paddy field belongs to me. I made this. I made that. Your vision changes. Everybody was like this before. I'm not saying that, you know, we all change. But what it tells you is, yeah, you were like this before. Now you have to correct your vision like this after studying Vedanta. So you become a very humble person. You don't have any demand. You don't ask anything. You, whatever you get, you eat. If you don't get, also is okay. So you have a very simple attitude. See that? That is what this teaches you. So annam is, when you go to this other Upanishad, you know, probably at some point, or maybe in 5-6 years time, when you're ready, at that time you will see that Upanishad is so detailed, because Bhrigu goes to his son Varuna. No, Varuna Bhagavan is the father, and Bhrigu is Rishi. Bhrigu, he goes to his father and asks, teach me that Brahman. Right? And he says, Annam Chakshush Pranam Mano Vacham Iti. He says this. Annam Chakshush Shrotram Mano Vacham Iti. These are the five things by which you know Brahman. Annam Chakshuhu Shrotram Mano Vacham Iti. So he tells, okay, first you go to read Annam. So then he does tapas. He understands what is Annam. Anname Koshaha. Then he says, okay, yes, I understand how this whole creation is coming through now. It's a cycle. So you understand that Annam is also Brahman. Pranam is also Brahman. Vacham is also Brahman. Mano also is Brahman. So everything is Brahman, and what is there? So we go to the same thing. Pranamaya Koshaha. See, I'm giving this view because in Bhrigavalli, you know, we chant mantra, right? You can chant by heart. But sometimes our buddhi goes in different direction. You know? If you know the meaning of that mantra, it becomes enjoyable to know what it is. So what is pranamayaha ka? Pranadayaha panchavayoho. So panchavayoho means panchavayuhu is there. Okay, panchavayoho. Vak indriya panchakam. Vak means speech. Indriyam, panchakam. Panchakam means five. Indriya means the indriyas. Pranamayam koshaha. So pranadayaha panchavayo vaga indriyaha panchakam pranamayaha koshaha. So the five physiological functions. Prana dayaha pancha vayuhu vayaha means five physiological functions. Okay. Starting with the respiration, everything. Okay. Then the five organs of action. Vak adi indriya panchakam. We saw before the five karma indriyas, five jnana indriyas. We saw before. Same thing is said here. Okay. They are called the pranamaya koshaha. See, we got prana, which is respiration, like, you know, we inhale, right? We inhale through this, right? Then we also exhale, which is important, right? So, when you say prana means, it's purely respiration, like you breathe in. Kumbhakam, purakam, right? We have this. In the Yoga Shastram also, they say that, you know, you inhale and you exhale out, right? Both are important. Sometimes people can only, the prana can disappear overnight also when you inhale and then suddenly there's a heart attack. You pass away. It is possible. That's why we always say that if a much nikko, this is Tamil. If a much nindrum, much means what? Like much cut, the one goes inside. Sometimes it gets stuck there and the person cannot exhale out, he passes away. So one has to inhale and also the exhale, because then the whole flow, the body circulation will happen. The blood has to be purified. Right? The blood which is inside also needs respiration for it to work. Otherwise, nothing, you know, if you don't have lungs, if you don't have any air in the lungs, other part of the body will all fail. So prana is respiration. And apana means what? Evacuation. Evacuation, apana, prana, apana, vyana, circulation. Vyana means circulation of the air, circulation. So when the air which you inhale, it circulates inside your body, for example, you know, then it actually comes out, right? Or the apana which is called, okay. Then samana is called a digestion system, digestion. So samana is also another type of, you know, vayu, which is required for us to digest the food. So some part of it, just like the anarasaneva, some parts of the vayu which is there, it actually resides to help in the digestion of the this one. Sometimes we feel bloated, right? We feel bloated because we feel like we are heavy, and we cannot, you know, let go of anything. So we struggle sometimes. Right? It has to come out some form or the other. Either you have to, it has to come as, you know, through, you know, the mouth, or it has come out of your posterior, you know, it has come somewhere. Otherwise, you will struggle. Because I remember one Gujarati couple, you know, old lady in my Matunga house. He used to walk up and down all the time. I mean, I was a small boy, you know. She used to pace the whole place up and down. And I used to ask, Bhabhi, kya ho raha aapko? Why are you? Kya kuch khali hai na? Pavan chutta nahi. Problem ho gaya. Pavan chutta nahi. So she has got a problem there because she has had something and she's struggling and she's walking all along, pacing along, because somehow she wants to let go of that and she's not able to do that. So she is worried. So that also is a problem. If you are not able to evacuate, and if you just keep bloating up, you feel that, like, you know, you're completely restless. You can also damage your body parts also, right? Supposing if you've got gas in your body, right? Supposing full of gas, it starts putting pressure against the muscles of the body. You can feel it. So what it tells you is that all these things which are important in right order. So the pancha pranaha, which is the prana, apana, which is the evacuation, vyana, circulation, samana, which is the digestion. Okay. So everything that is eaten has to be converted first, correct, into energy. So by digestion only you get energy. So even if you don't digest anything, you can't get energy out of it. So samana is a person, samana is what gives you digestion power, like, you know, the energy for it to operate. So anything you put inside, it's able to digest, it's able to convert into energy form. Then udana is the last one, which is called the process of, you know, throwing out, vomiting. So that food which cannot go out either way, it has to come out in some form or the other. Just imagine a person who cannot do any of this. A person cannot evacuate. A person cannot vomit. A person cannot digest. That person is actually pretty much, he will pass away very quickly. Medically, he may be treated. Medically. But supposing medically also body parts fail. Whatever you do, these three things fail. naturally the person will not survive long. Just imagine whatever he eats, he cannot digest. He has got no energy. And everything becomes a toxic gas inside. He struggles, literally. So just imagine how helpless we are in terms of our structure. We are depending on all these devatas. All these are devatas. When we offer food to the Lord, we offer these five things, right? We offer pranaya swaha, apanaya swaha, dhyanaya swaha, udanaya swaha, samanaya swaha, brahmane swaha, brahman eva swaha, brahman eva atma amrtatvaya. We do this mechanically. You see the Vadiya coming and says, pranaya swaha, apanaya swaha, dhyanaya swaha, we do like this. You see that? Hand only goes. But if you know the meaning of why you do it, then you know. Brahman eva atma amrtatvaya. So pranamaya is very important. I see people, yes.
See, this prana is both inhale and exhale, right?
Prana is actually respiration. Respiration means basically both. You respire.
Basically?
Respiration means prana means you inhaling and exhaling also is there.
Exhaling is also in.
But generally for, you know, what you call evacuation is purely like, you know, the carbon dioxide which goes out is what. So prana in this context, in this way, it has got only respiration means you breathe in and you take it out.
You're breathing in. Correct. So apana is for breathing out.
So prana's respiration in this aspect, see in the yoga, in the yogic concept, it may be different. But here, we segregate saying you first inhale as the prana, the air. Then you,
and apana you
evacuate, correct? And then this samana is actually digestion. Okay. And then the vyana which is there, it circulates the body, you know, the whatever good things are there, it circulates inside the body. And then that thing is converts into energy form, which is samana. Okay. Then anything which is left out, which cannot be converted, you know, or anything there, it has to come out in some form or the other. So the udana is the last one. Okay. That's how sometimes we feel that we can't digest the food. We have a bad problem, tummy problem, you know, we feel uneasy, we throw it, right? We always have sometimes a habit like, you know. And sometimes it is good because it will clear your existing system also. Sometimes you feel that after throwing out, you feel better. Rather than you just keep on inside your body, like, you know, keep on, you know, having all this gaseous thing coming out and you feel uneasy. Whereas if you just completely, you know, vomit everything out, then you will feel very bad initially, headache, everything will come. But then within a few minutes, you will feel relieved. Because all those things which are bad has come out. So the body itself has got a mechanism to throw out bad things, which it doesn't like. So it takes only the good things. It doesn't give any bad things. The beauty of the whole anatomy of the body is such a way, like you can eat anything you want. You put bhel puri, pani puri, paratha, biratha, whatever, ellathi potu ulla adakkanadhu. You can stuff everything in that. It has got a mechanism of, you know, analyzing everything. Like a big chakki, it goes inside and, you know, does all the piecing, everything it does. And then finally it says, okay, look, some will go as urine, some will go as, you know, your other things. Some will come out like this. And what retains is only the pure energy which is there. Right? So such is the complex mechanism of the body. Now, one may ask, okay, how does this work? Somebody will say, no, the blood vessels say they all do work. Okay. How does the blood vessel work? Then you'll say the blood vessels are working because somebody has something is there. Now, who is the something in that? What is that which makes you work 24/7 precision wise, clockwise? Not a single day it fails. I mean, it will fail one day when, you know, it is due to fail. But till such time, you get up in the morning, have the morning coffee, till you go to bed, everything is perfectly synchronized. If you have a good habit, lifestyle, decent lifestyle, you know, where you wake up in the morning and you have a good sleep, you will know that when you should do what. And when your body also will demand that. If you're a Kumbakonam coffee drinker, you want Kumbakonam coffee, filter coffee, habituated, morning 6:30 and on, you'll feel, I think I should have this Kumbakonam filter. You go immediately and, you know, put a kettle, put powder, put Kumbakonam coffee, and then filter ready, and then you're waiting for the smell comes, aroma comes, you start taking, right? So the body demands that. You get habituated to that. And once you have that, you feel very good about it. So what it tells you is, the anatomy is described in Vedanta in a different manner. It tells you that all these things are known to you. All the Annamaya Kosha which you discuss is known to you. All the Pranamaya Kosha is known to you. You know all these things all work. So that is not this Brahman. That is not this Brahman. But there is something. Okay, you will say, okay, how does this evacuation work? Evacuation works because evacuation works. You will say, somebody will ask you a question, right? How do you take breath? I breathe because air is available to breathe. But who gave you the air? It is available here. No? Everybody is available here. But who gave you, first of all, don't know. So this is the question. So the whole process of negation starts when you trust to find out the source, right? When you want to know who is the person, who is that, by which everything got created and everything is made available to you. Thereby you as an individual exist. When you start thinking that, putting the hat on, that's when we realize, my God, like, we are such a small person compared to all the things available here. And yet we think that we are the greatest people available. We are invention, we are this, no, we do everything. Whereas in reality, we are nothing. Everything is available to us, we are just using. We are just a upadhi, utility person. We take everything, we enjoy, we go away, give it back. That's it. Because you have to give it back to society, right? Something or the other. See, whatever you take from the earth, also you have to give it back. So we are giving it back in some form or the other. So there is always this, even though you don't want it also, you have to give it back. Whether it is, you know, your bad thing, whatever you're giving back, still it is actually a sort of offering, because it says, look, you cannot keep everything with you. You have to give back. So you give back. So forcibly it is given back. The day you don't give back is the day you go. The day you don't give back anything to society, you say, okay, look, I will not give anything to you. Like, your breathing stops. You cannot inhale anything. You cannot urinate. You cannot eat anything. You can't digest anything. You can't excrete. That's the time when you know that your day is over, finished. Few days, few maybe months, finished. Right. So that means that prarabdha karma is over. You cannot do anything more than this. Like, you don't have anything to give me. What's the point of this? That's the time when the prana leaves. You remember sometime back I told you also, in this discussion about this, you know, in the Mundaka Upanishad, he talks about this. They all go to Brahman and say, like, you know, I'm the person who is the greatest. The Shakshu, the eye says that I am the greatest. Without the eyes, nobody can see. The ears say, for example, like, you know, I'm the greatest. Without the ears, for example, nobody, you know, nothing can be heard. Everything can be heard to the eyes. The Indriya says, I'm the greatest person, because without a physical thing, nothing can be done. The mind says that I am the greatest. Without the mind, nobody can work. So mind says, I tell you to look at it, look at it. I tell you to speak, you speak. I tell you to lift a hand, you lift a hand. I tell you to walk, you walk. You sleep. Then this prana is sitting inside, silently. Then they all go to Brahman and then they complain. Like, you know, I am great. Brahma says, that person is great, by which when that person departs, everything is made dysfunctional. So they all go and say, like, you know, if I go away, if I, you know, if my eyesight is not there, you cannot do anything about it. You will be struggling like a blind person. So they're all discussing. Then the prana says, look, let's do one thing. I will first go. Then you decide who can operate without the prana. So the prana first leaves. Means you cannot respire, you cannot even inhale. If you cannot inhale, what part of the body will work? Will your eyes function? Because for the body to function, you need that oxygen, right? Oxygen moochirundana moochu kaatrunu illaya. That's why we say moochirundha pedudumba. Because moochu means like, you know, that's the whole breathing has completely stopped. So the prana went away first. All of them, they start, you know, becoming like, they all become like an octopus, dangling creatures. And they all came back and understood. He said, my God, prana, you are the greatest. Without you, we cannot exist anywhere. So all of them, they understand which is that one thing which clicks everything. So even the prana also is functioning because of the consciousness only. In the light of the consciousness, the Atma, of the Self, only that is known to you. Right. Is it clear, this one? I'm giving you a picture because for you, I'm just trying to set you up for something so that you would know that whatever we think we are nothing here. All these things are all we are priding about, like, you know, I am this, I can do this, like a pranayama, I can do this. You've got no control over anything. Anything can stop anything. People say, for example, like, you know, I can take. Next moment, you don't know. That's why we never say, have this ankara that I am doing this, I am doing that, I am doing this. All of them are operating on their own nature. And the day of prarabdha karma is finished, that day everything will stop. So for Vedanti, you know, it's very clear. When a person passes away, it is not death. Of course, when it comes to the person, he's afraid. I will not say that, you know, when the person is on deathbed, he's not afraid. Physically, there's a fear is there. But the physical fear gets dissolved in the vision of the Vedanta that, okay, look, only my body is going away. I as a Shuddha Chaitanyam is actually not going away. This body was coming from Annamaya Kosha. It was coming from the earth. It is going to go back to the same earth. Which is logical because I didn't come from anything else. I only came from this earth and going back to the same earth. So, I don't have anything to offer anything else. What else is there for me to take? Right. So in Bible also, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, they say this. Right? So you came from that. So the same concept is there also. So if you have that vision, it is good. Okay. Okay, so next we look at, we got, I'll introduce you to this Manomaya Koshaha. Then I'll talk about it in detail next class, okay? I'll just tell you what it is. So Manomaya Ka means, what is Manomaya Koshaha? So we have seen Annamaya Koshaha. We have seen Pranamaya Koshaha. Now we are going to see Manomaya Koshaha. Third one. It says Manascha Jnana Indriya Panchakam. Manascha Eva Jnana Indriya Panchakam Militva means it is a modification. Okay, it is a Militva Yo Bhavati Sa Manomaya Koshaha. Manascha Jnana Indriya Panchakam. Okay. Means the Manomayaha is actually called the modification of the mind. The mind also gets modified. Okay. So we look at this mind also, how it gets modified. And this word Jnana Indriya Panchakam. Okay. The five organs of perception. Seeing, hearing, touch, taste, smell. You perceive things through these five organs of perception, right? And these things are controlled by the mind, the manaha. The mind tells you to see. If you want to see a rose, the mind tells the eyes, see a rose. The rose is seen, the color is color, you know, the texture, whatever you see there, it gets transmitted back to the mind. The mind analyzes and tells you, yes, it is like this. So it's so seamless. The hearing also is like this. When you hear, you can hear good music, bad music. Swara is not there, apaswaram is there, everything you can hear. Right? So the hearing also is, the mind controls the hearing. Right? It tells you which swara is good, which is not good. See, the hearing does only one job. It only transmits the sound. The sound goes to the mind. The mind does the analysis. And it tells you which is good or which is not good. The decision is made in the mind, right? You always think. You always do like this, right? Let me think. Why do you do like this? You can't say, well, let me think. You don't do like this. Or let me think like this. You know, because you cannot think through the nose. You can only think to the mind only. So that you hear things, then the mind actually tells whether good or bad. Likewise, the eyes see, then you decide, the mind decides whether I should see or not to see. I should pursue seeing it or not, should I stop seeing it. You speak, then your mind thinks, my God, am I speaking the right thing or not thinking? I should say or not say. Okay? So all the mind, touch also. When you touch somebody, you know, okay, he is having a fever or is nice, rough skin, smooth skin, all these things you are seeing, right? You are able to see this. So, likewise, smell also. Sugandham, pal payasam smell is very good. Kumbhakonam coffee is very good. You get bad smell, all those things which you get. Everything. So, the smell, all those things it says is a function of the mind. The mind does the analysis and the mind tells these indriyas or the officers to go and report. And they all come back and report what it is. Right? So, what is this? This is a modification of the mind. The mind gets modified by the five different organs of perception. Right? Depending upon what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you touch, right? It modifies accordingly, depending on what it is. Right? And it is called a kosha because the mind is very, see, it is not concerned. Today you will be having a very, what do you call, you want to see a good movie. So you go and see a good movie. Tomorrow you will say, I want to listen to a concert. You want to go to a concert. You will go to a concert. Next day you will say, I want to blast somebody. You will have an angry discussion with somebody. All these things are happening, every day is possible. Every moment also is possible. In one session you can have all the five can be done. You can slap somebody, you can blast somebody, right? You can convey that chuttadikla. You can just looking at the eyes of the person, you can blast somebody also. Everything is possible. Correct? All the expression, like you know, the happiness, the mudras which are there, they're all controlled by the mind only. It only tells you that you know you should have Rudram, should have you know this you know Karunyam, all the things which are there in dance. The eyes, do you think that they operate on their own? They don't. The legs, do you think they operate on their own? Dance, they don't. But what do we think? Oh, they are dancing very well. Because what we forget is that one which makes everything works perfectly is the mind. And the mind itself is variable. So that which is variable cannot be a Brahman. That thing which keeps changing every time, every moment, cannot be the Brahman. But what happens? We think the mind is the Atma. We think the mind is the Brahman. So it's called a Kosha. Kosha means a dosha, means it is actually a superimposition or a error perception. We think that the mind, oh, maybe the body is, this is what, you know, I think, you know, I'm the body, so I'm the Atma. So people say, I'm this, you know, so I'm a person. So you always say, I'm this, I'm a person like this. So what? You're a person like this, so what? Then you'll go back one level saying, oh, I'm the prana, so what? You're the prana, okay, so what? Then you say, okay, I'm the mind, so what? Mind also is known to you, prana also is known to you, body also is known to you. So if anything is known to you, what is unknown to you is what you have to find out. So the negation process is the panchakosha viveka, where you negate the panchakoshas. You come, you remove. Okay, I am not the body. I am not the prana. I am not the mind. I am not the knower. I am not the buddhi also. I am not intellect also. The intellect also is known to you, because which is vijnana kosha, we'll see next class. The decision-making power to do good thing or not good thing. The mind has got four parts, right? So it's got buddhi, ahankara, manas, and chit. Four things are there. But they all operate together. The ahankara says, I am this. The buddhi says, I am that. You do this, all those things happen in your mind continuously, like churning. It keeps. And they are all known to you at point of time. You know when you are getting angry, you know when you are making, not thinking right, when you are making mistake, everything you know about it. And yet we continue to make same mistake again and again, because we like to be that. Certain things we like to do because we like to be like that. We enjoy it, to be in the state. So that's why this manaha also, manomaya koshaha. Maya means manomaya koshaha. Maya means just like a maya only. Koshaha means it is actually taken as the atma. When you negate that also, you negate vijnanamaya koshaha, then you also negate the anandamaya koshaha also, which is your happiness. I'm happy, I'm dukhi, I'm sad, I'm temporarily happy. You remove all these things. They're all state of mind, right? So we'll come to that one by one. So the purpose of all these things is it will actually lead you to next topic, which is called Sachit Ananda. That's the nature of your own Swarupam, which is you are Sat, Chit and Ananda, which is your own Swarupam or the ultimate happiness, which is the Atma or the consciousness. So it will set nicely. So what the author is trying to do is the Sampradaya teaching is setting up one by one nicely to you. He has taught you the panchakosha, the dashar sampat. You have to develop these things. Then he has taught you the karma indriyas. He has taught you the devatas which are governing that to bring you the devotion or the gratitude. He has told you the functions of each of the karma indriyas. He has told you the jnana indriyas, the devotee, the deities which are there. So all the things which will give you that gratitude, or the thankful attitude of that. Then he has given you the three states of discussion. Okay, you are not these three states. So in the three states you are already known to. So you cannot be that. Now he is saying, okay, what about the body? Okay, he has come down to the five levels now. Okay, you are not even that. So you negate everything. Finally you come to that which you cannot negate. That is the Atman or the consciousness. So Tattva Bodha actually means that talks about slow process of unfolding the vision of the consciousness by analyzing the other things which are impermanent. Nitya Anitya Vastu Viveka, first thing we saw. Thereby you will be able to come to the conclusion that okay, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am ultimately this. Okay. All topics are same. But it has to register, when you see anything, you should register completely. Right? And it takes time. That's why repetition is required in the Vedanta teaching. Sometimes very boring, very, very boring. I also get sometimes my teacher will say, it's boring, but it is a style of teaching. There's nothing you can do about it, because the Sampradaya style, Vedanta is like this. It will be like this because our gross mind is so gross that it, after so many days of hearing also, it will be like this. So one has to keep repeating for us to get the clear vision. Is it clear? This class so far is clear. Any doubts, any questions on this? If you got any questions, you can mark it down and next class, yes. Yeah, you can unmute.
Says Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, isn't it? All these Maya, is it something to do with Maya?
Yes. Maya means like illusion. Maya. The illusion.
You can illusion. So that Maya, which is all this.
Basically, Maya is an illusion or a perception error. Or a perception. So when we say Maya means like, you know, we mistake things. Maya which is there, which actually shrouds our vision completely. And thereby we think we are this. But the moment the cloud is gone, just like the sun. The sun is covered by the cloud. But in reality, the cloud is actually there. The sun is already there. But when the cloud goes, the sun is visible to you, right? The sun is always there. But what happened was the cloud was there as a protective covering. And when you look at the cloud, there's no sun today. You look at it, right? You always say there's no sun today. But how do you know there's no sun? Because in the light of the sun only you see the cloud. If there's no sun, how do you see the cloud? The sun is always shining. Always shining. You see the stars because of the reflection of the sun. You don't see the stars separate thing. It's got no independent light apart from the sun. The moon has got no separate light apart from the sun. It is only sun's reflection that you see the moon. It is only the reflection of the sun that you see the stars. And they shine in their presence. We saw the other Upanishad mantra also, right? Natatro suryo bhatina chandra tarakam. Dema vidyuto makutoya magnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhata sarvam idam vibhati. Means in that world, natatro suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Means there is, in that world, there is no surya, there is no chandra, there is no moon, nothing there. There is no, also no fire also. Everything is lighting upon my own consciousness. Everything is illumined. Due to my nature, if I am not there, there's no sun for me. As a true consciousness, if you are not there, there's sun for you, there's no sun for you, there's no moon for you, there's no fire for you, there's no stars for you. Everything is evening because in the morning when you wake up, you see these things. If you are awake at night, you see the stars because you as an enlightened person, you are existing there. If you yourself are not there, there's no sun for you, there's no moon for you. So this is the truth, this is the message we have to make very clearly. That we as individual means not the body. Body is just a body for you to see things. Correct. But the body also requires, you know, that ultimate light which is there. That light which radiates the eyes. That which light which limits the mind. Is what is able to see that, correct? If the light was not there within you, none of these things will be visible to you. You see, this is also the same topic, you'll understand more when you go to the topic where, you know, how these things work. Because that talks about the individual at the lowest level. There's no universe, nothing else. It talks about the individual. Is it clear, everything?
Yeah.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So next Sunday there will be no class because we are finished with Bhagavad Gita, but Sunday there will be class. Sunday there will be the Bhagavad Gita class for, you know, we'll start, we'll complete the other mantra, the prayer mantra which is there. Then we'll go into the verse 1 of the Bhagavad Gita. Then we start Dhritarashtra Viveka for those who want to join the serious class. I'm telling you because if you miss any class, you will struggle to understand the concepts. Very difficult. So I would recommend that you can catch up recording, maybe one recording can catch up. But if you keep it for two or three, you will not be able to get the grasp of it. Because the topic is very cryptic, very difficult topic. It's an easy topic in terms of understanding, because once you understand, it's very easy. But to get to the messages, you need to be focused, be focused. But now we are leaving the Bhagavad Gita and we are getting into the Prakarana Grantha, which is now going to unfold the nature of the Brahman, the consciousness. And thereby, an individual is analyzed at the lowest level possible. And there are some topics which require you to focus, you know, somebody will say, who's a seer? Mind is a seer, you know, eye is a seer, all is seeing, everything will come. So lots of topics, different discussions will happen. So you have to be attentive. Okay, so, I mean, see how you go. I mean, it will be an interesting discussion. Okay, so we'll start from not this Monday, next Monday onwards. Okay?
I don't know what you're saying. Sunday there is class, right?
Sunday, Bhagavad Gita class is there. Next Monday, because...
Oh, you're talking about Monday.
The Monday class is not there anymore. But the Monday class will actually be a new topic will start. It will be an advanced class. Okay. So, if you want, you can attend. If you feel, or everybody can attend. There's no restriction. But only thing is, if you make it a point to be consistent, because if you miss any class, in that class, Bhagavad Gita you can pick up. See, the Gita is very easy. But in terms of other texts, Upanishads, other things, if you miss any class, it will be difficult for you to pick up things. Like Panchadashi also. If you miss one single class or two classes, you will struggle to understand what has been taught before. Unless the teacher actually revisits the topic again, which sometimes is not possible because the topic itself is so big, it will take you maybe a year to complete it. Okay. So I'll see you on next Monday. Okay. Sunday I'll see some of you guys. Okay.
Yeah. I'll not be there. I'll see you next Monday.
Okay. All right. Oh, have a safe trip, Natarajan.